Okay, Sean, we're both side today's daf is Erevin daf Ayin Aleph, and again, as all the shiurim are, today's shiur is in Schus Refuah Shlema for Chaim ben Yamin Mordechai ben Aida. Shnevei Refuah Shlema Bekarov. Okay, we're on Ayin Amud Beis. We've been just discussing basically the entirety of Ayin Amud Beis, discussed the possibility of a Yoresh doing Bittul. If you remember, we had said that, obviously someone who does not join in an Erev can be Mevatel his Rishos and therefore rectify that problem. But let's say that person passed away. So what's the case? What's the deal if someone is Yoresh a property? Rachman al-Atzlan, if someone is Nifter on Shabbos. So we quoted a Machlokes between Rav Nachman and Shmuel's Talmidim. Rav Nachman had said a Yoresh, someone who inherits property in a Chatzar on Shabbos, is able to do Bittul. And Shmuel's Talmidim had said he cannot. And we brought a bunch of kashes, a couple of brises, I guess, that seemingly contradicted Rav Nachman, and we got out of those. But now we're going to bring another kasha against Rav Nachman, again, who says that a Yoresh can do Bittul. So Toshma, we're two lines up on Ayin Amud Beis. Yisrael v'ger shruim v'magura achas v'jew and a ger live in, for all intents and purposes, a chatzar. And a magura, technically, Rashi says, is a goren, is a threshing floor or some sort of silo or whatever. And Rashi says it's broken up into chadarim, into rooms, and everybody has, each one has an entrance into a chatzar. Basically, they live in a chatzar. Yeah, they live in a chatzar, they have different different entrances and different houses that go into a chater. Not this is a Jew and a ger, not a Jew and a goy, right? And as we said before, we've mentioned at least definitely in this mesachta that a ger has no halachic relatives. So if a ger dies, Rachman al-Tzal, without any children, there's no one that inherits his property. So it's hefker, and anybody can just kind of like be machzik it, can make a chazaka and acquire this property. So if a Jew and a ger are in a chatzer, and umes ger mibod yom, and the ger dies on Erev Shabbos, so now this Bryce's language is going to be a little problematic, and the Gemara will attack it and analyze it, but let's just read it at face value. Afal pi shehichzik yisrael achar ben achosov, even though a Jew is masik in the goy's nechosov, meaning a Jew, someone else takes possession of the property, then oser, even though implying that if someone does not take possession of the ger's property, it for sure would answer it, right? Even though someone takes possession of the property, it's going to be answer. It's going to be answer. He's going to mess up carrying in the chutzar for everybody else. Mishech hashecha, if the ger dies on Shabbos, then afal pi shelosh hichzik Yisrael, even though nobody takes possession of the property, is then in Osir. Then it is not Osir, implying that if someone takes possession of the property, for sure it won't be Osir. And the Gemara says, Agufakasha, one second, the implications of both these statements make no sense. Right? Amarta mibod yom afal pi shehichzik, right? You said if he dies on Friday, even though someone takes possession of the property on Friday, right, he's going to be Osir. He's going to answer, implying that v'lomi bayaki lo hichzik, implying that if someone does not take possession of the property, for sure it will be aser. So Gemara says, Adarabba, what are you talking about? Ki lo hichzik lo aser. If no one owns this property, who is asering the chatzar to everybody else? What are you talking about? That your implication makes no sense. So Rav Papa says, Ema, no. So say, explain that afo pisha lo hichzik, that the greater chiddush, that even though case, right, even though nobody takes possession of the property, then it's going to be us. So that's what the Brisa should read. The Gemara says, one second, that's not what it says. Right? V'ha'afal b'ik she'hevzik katani. It says that even though someone takes possession of the property, it's still asers. Well, so what does that mean? The Gemara says, ha'chikamar. This is what I meant to say. Afal b'shalo hechzik mibod yom, ela b'shachecha. Right? Even though no one was machzik, no one took possession of the property on Friday, rather someone took possession of the property on Shabbos, so came into Havalei l'hachzik mibod yom, since he should have or he could have taken possession of the property on Friday, then oser, then he's going to answer it to everybody else in the chatzah. Mishech hashicha. But, okay, period. So that's how we understand the first part of the Brisa. The second part of the Brisa said, Mishech hashecha, if the ger dies on Shabbos, afal pi shelo hichzik yisrael achar, eino oser. Even though no one takes possession of the property, It doesn't answer. Right? The Gemara says, even though nobody takes possession of the property, and you don't even need to tell me that if someone takes possession of the property, for sure it's not aser. So either of them, what do you mean? If someone takes possession of the house, right? That's more of a reason to aser the chatzer. If nobody's living in the house, for sure it's not. No one possesses the house. No one lives there, so for sure it's not going to be usher. You're telling me that someone takes possession of the house, it's definitely not usher. Why? Someone who takes possession, someone who lives or owns something in the chatzer, it's more of a reason to usher the chatzer. Rav Papa says same kind of logic here. No, say that even though someone took possession of the property, it's not usher. So Gemara says, I have afal pi shalu yichzik katani, but that's not what it says. It doesn't say that. It says that even though someone didn't take possession of the property, so Gemara says, okay, Gemara, this is what it means to say. Afal pi shehichzik mishecha sheicha, even though someone took possession of the property on Shabbos already, since he could not have taken possession of the property on Erev Shabbos because the ger was still alive, so eino oser, therefore his ownership is not going to oser carrying in the chatzer. So okay, so we brought all of that to bring a question against Rav Nachman, right? Rav Nachman had said that a yoresh is allowed to do bittel on Shabbos. So Gemara says, katani mias. However, what do we say? Reisha oser. Right, the first part, the first case. Right, we said that if the ger dies on Erev Shabbos, it's going to aser everybody else in the chatzer. Because Gemara says, "Am I aser? Right, why would it aser? Just nivotel, right? Just do bittel." Right, so apparently, you see a yoresh, someone who inherits or acquires property on Shabbos, he's machzik from a ger or he inherits, so he's going to aser and everybody else. So Gemara says, "No, my aser dekatani ad shivata." So the same answer that we gave before. Right, Rav Nachman said, would understand. No, what does it mean when the Braisa says it asers it? So it only asers it until the guy is mevatel his rishus. Okay, fine. Now that's the way we've been answering these Braisas. So Rabbi Yochanan though says there's a different way to answer up these Braisas. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Masnis and Mani Beis Shammai. That simply the Mishnah is Beis Shammai. Meaning, really, it's talking about the Braisa, not the Mishnah. That's why it's confusing. But the Braisas that we just quoted, that's all Beis Shammai Shita. Why? The Amri, what does Beis Shammai say? Ain bittel rishus b'Shabbos, that you can't do bittel on Shabbos. Well, if you can't do bittel on Shabbos, then if someone comes into ownership of the item, of the house, rather, on Shabbos, that's going to mess things up. Right, so me'emis as ditran, like we learned in the Mishnah, me'emis I know some rishus, when can you give rishus, when can you be mevatel your rishus, in a chatzer, Beis Shammai omrim b'mod yom, Beis Hillel omrim mishetech shach. Beis Shammai says only on Friday up until Shabbos, and Beis Hillel says even on Shabbos. So therefore, these brises are all like Beis Shammai, Rabbi Rav Nachman, hold it like Beis Hillel, simply that you can do bittel, and that's why he says a yoresh can do bittel on Shabbos. So Ula says, my time with the Beis Hillel, what's the reason for Beis Hillel? Because Nasek omer kilcha etzel yafos. It's similar to a case of kilcha etzel yafos. What is that? That is something that's totally unrelated to Mesedes Erevin. The case is where someone appoints a shliach to take truma from his crop. And the guy goes and takes nice truma, takes some good stuff, and the owner says, well, kilcha etzel yafos. You could have taken even better ones. Right? You could have taken even yafos. Yafos is nice. You could have taken even more truma. And the question is, not more truma, but better truma, from better produce. The question is the owner serious? Is he serious meaning, did he say, oh, you should have taken better? Meaning, he wanted him to take the best stuff? Or is he being sarcastic? Is he saying, well, if I had better stuff, you would have taken that stuff too? So the case of the Gemara over there says, where's that Gemara? I forget already. That Gemara is in Bava Metzia. So the Gemara says, basically, that we see if the guy had nicer stuff. If the guy had nicer stuff, so then we assume that he was serious. If he didn't have nicer stuff, so we assume that he was upset with the shliach for taking his best stuff. But either way, it's good. Meaning, if we see that he would have been very happy to give over the nicer stuff, so then the truma, the taking of the truma is good, because you can see that, you know, that's what his intention was all along. So again, similarly over here, right, when a person is mevatel his rishus on Shabbos, so Beis Hillel is saying that no, really he wanted to be mevatel his rishus on Erev Shabbos. But Abaye says that Abaye doesn't like that. That the whole reason that bittul works is as if you wanted to be mevatel your rishus on Erev Shabbos. Right, just like the case of Truma, the owner of the produce says, oh, he's Megala his das. He reveals that was really in his mind the whole time to give them the best stuff. So Abaye says, no, that doesn't work, because Meis Nachri B'Shabbos might kill Chayetzei Ofozika. Right, well, what happens? Let's say if someone, a Goy, is Nifter on Shabbos, right, and now, meaning the Goy in general would mess up in Erev, but now there is no Goy, right, and the Jews. In the chatzar, right? If you have no eruv, you can do bittul, right? So, what kind of kilcha etzel yafos is there? Meaning, what was my retroactive das on Friday? There's nothing available for you to do on Friday. You couldn't have done bittul on Friday because the goy was alive, right? You can't apply this whole logic of, oh, this is what I really, really intended on Erev Shabbos. The goy was alive on Erev Shabbos. You couldn't have done bittul. Wouldn't have helped. So, how does that work? So it can't be that's Beis Hillel Shita, that you can do bittul on Shabbos because it means retroactive to Erev Shabbos, that was your das. No. El hakam makamifugi, what's the machlokas? Beishamai savri bittul rishus mikne rishusahu. Well, mikne rishusah beishabbos azer. Beishamai holds, what happens when you do bittul rishus? You're being makne, you're doing a kinyan on your rishus, you're giving over something. You're doing an actual kinyan, and that's asr on Shabbos. Right? Chazal mentioned in Masechet Shabbos that a kinyan on Shabbos is asr because you may come to do kosev. And so that Chazal Asr, that's also made the Rabbanah, so therefore it doesn't work. Beis Hillel Savri, no, it's Taluki Rishuza Ba'almahu. When you're doing Bittul Rishus, you're just removing yourself from the equation here. Right? You're just saying, oh, I'm relinquishing any schus, any koach I had in the Chotzer. It's Taluki Rishuza B'Shabbos Shabbat Dami. That's not a kinyan then, that's totally fine. That's not like business. Business, right, again, making a kinyan, some acquisitions, right, you may lead to writing shtaros, etc., etc. Just removing yourself from stepping out from not even a business deal, just I'm relinquishing my ability to carry into this chatzar. What is that? It's nothing. It's just a removal of your rishus, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Okay. Excuse me. So now, the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is going to move on to discussing what you make a shituf mevos on, right? Again, we said basically the phraseology, the terminology is an eriv is for a chotzer and a shituf is for a mavoi. But there are practical differences between a shituf and an eriv. One of those differences is in terms of the item in which you use. In general, we mentioned that in general an eriv was done by bread. The Rishonim point out that could be because we had a machlokas as to what the point of an erev is, but if it's mishum dira or mishum, I forget already. But if it put this way, if it's mishum dira that we view everybody as living, having a place to live, right, establishing your residence, so you reside in a place where you have bread. A mavui, joining it together, a mavui, right? In general, as we're going to see, usually they used wine. You don't need such a kvius. You don't need such a setup. You don't need to use bread because it's not really midin setting up where your living is, setting up where your house or your dwelling is going to be on Shabbos. It's more just kind of joining together all the chatzeros that lead into a single mavui. And again, it's important to remember, as we did at the beginning of the Masechta, right? In general, back in the day, the setup of the neighborhoods was you had, let's say, two houses into a chatzer, into a mavui. So let's say you had two chatzeros on either side of a mavui. You had, therefore, two houses in each chatzer. So if you had two chatzeros on each side, that's four houses into two chatzeros into one mavui. So that would be, you know, the classic, you know, standard example of a mavui. Okay, just to keep that in mind, we're going to see there's going to be a case over here about three chatzeros and two mavuis. All right, we'll see. Let's go weiter. Says the Mishnah, Bala Bais Shaya Shutaf L'Shchinav. Let's say a Bala Bais, somebody who lived in a house, he's a Shutaf, he's a partner in business with the people in his mavui. So lezebiyain. One guy, right, meaning in both of them, he's a partner in different wines. They bought different, vintages, bottles, barrels, whatever it is. If he's a partner with both of them in wine, so inan tzrichan la'arev, Right? You don't need to make, now here they use the word Erev, but you don't need to make a shituf. You don't need to make a shituf of mevos. Because they're already partners. However, if the guy is a partner with another person in his mavoi or chotzer, really mavoi, with wine, and the other one is a partner in, let's say, they bought some oil together. So what's the deal? Then shrich an eruv. Then they do need to make an eruv. That's the Tanakama. And the Rabbi Shimon, again, Rashi explains over here, right, Mistama, they're in different containers, right? Meaning they're different Shnei Kalim, Rashi says. And we'll see exactly what exactly is the case in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon says, no, and Shrich an eruv, that Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't need an eruv in that second case as well when the items are different. Okay, let's see what the Gemara has to say about that. So Amar Rav, Rava says, according to the Tanakama, b'kli echad. Right, the only when does he say you don't need an eruv? That's only if the business deal, right, everything involved in the partnership is in one container, meaning one barrel or whatever it is. So Amar Rava, Rava says, dekanami, and it makes a lot of sense from our Mishnah. Dekatani lezebed yain velezebed shemen. Right, what does it say at the end? Rabbi Adam, the machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon is if Reuven has a partnership with Shimon in wine and with Levi in oil. So in that case, tzrich an eruv, and then according to the Tanakama, they need an eruv. So Gemara says, "Iyamis b'shlama." I understand if it says reisha b'kli echad, v'zeiver b'shnei kelim. That if the first case is one kli, and that's where the Tanakama says you don't need an eruv, and the second case is where there are two kelim, and therefore he says you do need an eruv. Shapir, right? That makes sense, right? Again, because they're two separate containers, right? It's not. It doesn't work. You need a shidduch between all three people because they're not together. Eliyamis reisha b'shnei kelim, seifish b'shnei kelim. But I mean, if you tell me that both the first part of the Mishnah and the second part of the Mishnah are both with two kelim, so mali yain, mali shemen. Mali the yain v'yain, mali yain v'shemen. What's the difference between having two different substances? Right? If it's in two different containers, right, so you can't combine the two. Right, what's the difference? Between wine and oil. It's kind of really a said back to Rav, no, what are you talking about? Yayin v'yayin, roi la'arev. You could combine, if you had two barrels of wine, you could just pour them into another third barrel that was big enough to hold everything, you could just combine the whole thing. So therefore, they're technically kind of sort of combined, right? Since you could combine them. Yayin v'shemen ein roi la'arev. But no, obviously you're not going to mix wine and oil. So that already, that's not an actual, I guess, shitov and eruv. And you would need to make Ashtufa Mavos, in that case, with the oil and the wine. The terrace is pretty posh, but okay, right, then again, that requires more analysis, more even in terms of what the Havamina was, right? Rava wasn't an idiot, right? He had obviously understood, right, that the second case has different foodstuffs in it and it can't combine. So okay, okay, that's ready for Ian Shear for now. Rabbi Shimon Amar Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh. Ein Tzrich and Arev, right? According to Rabbi Shimon, in the case where you have both cases, meaning both, if you have two cases of two barrels of wine, or right, I said mistakenly, I apologize. I said that Rabbi Shimon only argues in the second case. That's not true. Regardless, whether you have wine and wine or wine and oil, so there is you do not need an Arev. So the Gemara says, one second, even if it's different types of food. So Rabba, this is not Rava, but Rava says, "Ach ma'iskin." What's the case here? And the case is bechotzer bein shnei mavuos, with the chotzer between two mavois. So the case is, again, if you have the diagrams, it's really much easier to understand. But according to Rabbi Shimon, we're not dealing with one mavoi, right? We had said at the outset, right, the classic construction is two chotzeros, four houses on each side, go into one mavoi. Here, according to Rabbi Shimon, again, according to Rava, we are not talking about that at all. We're talking about there are two mavuis, and there are a chatzer in the middle, and one chatzer on the right, and one chatzer on the left, or rather, two chatzeros on the right, and two chatzeros on the left. But either way, you can imagine a row of houses and chatzeros, then a mavui, a row of houses and chatzeros, then a mavui, and then a row of houses and chatzeros. Right? So it's three chatzer houses, and two mavuis between the two of them. Okay, again, it's easier if you have the diagram. We have discussed a case like this before in the Masechta, but okay, we're back to this. So that's the case over here for Rabbi Shimon Tamei. And this is Rabbi Shimon's Shita, the Tan, like we learned in the Mishnah earlier in the Masechta. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Lama Devar Doma. How is that similar to the Shalosh Chatzeros Psukos Zulazu? Right, the three Chatzeros that are similar to each other. Psukos the Shusar Rabim. Erev Ushtaim Chitzonos Imam Tzois. If you made an Erev with the two outer ones with the middle one, so he Mutaris Imaim is he Mutaris Ima. Right, Ushtaim Chitzonos Asuros Zubuzu. Right, again we had said that if you make an Erev between all three Chatzeros, so again it's Chatzer A, B, and C. A can carry it to B. B can carry it to C, but A cannot go into C. So that is what we're talking about over here. Right, again, when you have when the shtufim of os is made with wine and oil, meaning A cannot go into C, but everybody can go. I mean, B can go into C, and B can also go into A, and A can go into B, and C can go into B, but basically A and C are not together. So Abaye said, "Me dummy." Those cases are not comparable at all. There we said, right, the A cannot go into C. What are you talking about? The halacha is totally different, right? Again, as I explained, right, I jumped the gun a little bit. According to that mission over there, A cannot go into C. Right, those chateros cannot carry to each other. Here, what did Rabbi Shimon say in the Mishnah? He said, "Ein tzrich an erev klal." You don't need an erev, right? Implying that you can carry throughout all of them. So what's going on? So the Gemara says, "My ein tzrich an erev." What does it mean when Rabbi Shimon says you don't need an erev? Shcheinim b'hadi bala bayis, meaning the neighbors, you know, with the bala bayis don't need to make a chater. Meaning the C and B and A do not make a chater. But C and A do need to make an Erev with each other. Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, according to this understanding, but when Rabbi Shimon says, in tzrichin Erev, that means between C and B. And between B and A, you don't need an Erev. But between A and C, you do need an Erev. And without an Erev, so then it would be usher for those chateros to carry into each other. Rav Yosef says, no. Go back to the original diagram, quote unquote, that we drew in our mind, right? With the regular one mavoi chatzer, one mavoi setup, where you have, again, two chatzeros on each side flowing into one mavoi. And what's the case? What's going on? Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan v'Plug the Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri v'Rabbanan k'mefugi. This is the same machlokas as the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. Right? It's not like we learned in the Mishnah. This Mishnah is not here. This Mishnah is in Tevul Yom. And again, what is it? Well, let's just read it, and I guess we'll explain. Shemen shetzaf al gabe yayin, rather. If oil is floating on top of wine, v'Naga Tevul Yom b'Shemen, and the Tevul Yom touches the oil that's on top. Now, what is it? Tful Yom, as we've mentioned, is someone who is waiting for the day. Meaning he went to the mikvah, Tful Yom is someone who went to the mikvah that day, but he has a halachic status, he's waiting for sundown for his tumah to fully dissipate. So he can, right, he can be metame in a light way, meaning for truma and kachin, he can be metame. So if a tful yom touches the oil, so what's the deal? I mean, oil is floating on top of wine. So, right, so the tful yom reaches into the barrel, touches the oil, and takes his finger out. So what's the deal? Is he metame the oil? Is he metame the wine as well? So that's a machlokas. Lo pasul al hashemen bilvad. Right, that's the Tanakama. The Chachamim hold he only pasuls the oil because the oil and the wine are separate. Right, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, Omer, Shneim Chibur and Zelazad, they are connected. So the Rabbanan Karabbanan, the Rabbanan who say that the oil and wine do not mix, right? So therefore they are not getting combined to make a Hashituf, to make an Erev. But Rabbi Shimon holds Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, right? He holds Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri that they're together. So therefore you don't need to make an Erev if you have a partnership in oil and a partnership in wine, because those things theoretically can combine, like we said before, just like the case of the wine and the wine, just that you could combine them, so therefore everything is viewed as one single kind of Erev, and therefore that works out, because you can combine, right, if you poured oil and wine, it would be viewed as one halachic situation. Okay, now we had quoted our Mishnah, right, that in Machlokas, the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Now we have a third sheet over here that's not in our Mishnah. Tanya, we'll learn the Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, Omer, Echad Zeh, V'Echad Zeh, Tzrichan Arev. Right? Both cases, both the wine and the oil on the wine, do need to make an Eruv, right? That's against both of them, right? Rabbi Shimon said both of them do not need to make an Eruv, and the Chachamim said wine and wine don't need an Eruv, but wine and oil does. Here, Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai says both of them need an Eruv. The Gemara says, one second, Rafilu the Zebiyayin, Zebiyayin, what about a wine and wine? If he has a partnership with both wine and wine, and again, just why, when we keep on saying a partnership, right? He already has a business deal with them. Why is that effective? Because what is an Eruv? Right? Everybody pours a little bit of wine into a bottle, into a barrel or whatever it is, and we join together with food, right? Just like putting the bread in a basket and putting it in someone's house. Same thing. Everybody pours a little bit of wine into a barrel. Well, if these two people share the barrel of wine and a financial business deal, so it's just like they both took a bottle of wine and poured it into the barrel. Right? So it's the same exact thing. It's the same idea. And a person is joined together in a business deal, so that's good enough. That's literally exactly the same thing. So why in the world would someone who has wine and with wine and with one guy and wine with another guy, why couldn't that be good enough for an Eruv? So Rabbi, Rabbi explains, Zeba bilgino v'shafach, Zeba bilgino v'shafach. If one guy came with a bottle and poured it of wine and poured it in, another guy came with another bottle of wine and poured it in, kuli amal pligi to have Eruv. Now, everybody would agree that would be fine. Eki pligi ki gon shalachu chav v'shalyayim v'shodfes. Now, the machlokes is, when they bought a barrel of wine, right, together, and everybody owns part of the barrel. So Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, Omer, Savar, Ein Breira. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai holds that we do not say that each person owns a specific amount of wine. Right? So again, Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai disagrees with the concept of two people owning a barrel of wine. It's like this guy poured in one bottle, this guy poured in another bottle. Right? He doesn't hold that it's individual. Meaning, it's not the... no one contributed and then, right, by themselves a part of their own wine to this barrel. They own it all together. So therefore, it's no good. Right? Again, it's everybody, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, everybody needs to bring something that they themselves own. Those are several rabbanon, several no. Yesh Breirud, we do say that when you buy, when you pay, you know, you go halfsies with someone on the barrel of wine, so you technically own the top half and I own the bottom half or whatever it is. So therefore, that would work. Agav Tosos points out over here, where this is not Breira as we've been talking about. We've mentioned the concept of Breira, excuse me, we've mentioned the concept of Breira several times in the Masechta already, that we view something retroactive, right? That we view as if it was your retroactive status, retroactive das, or whatever it is. This is not Breira. This is just the same word, but meaning something else. As one of my rabbis used to point out, that's why you can't replace Talmid Chachamim with computers, because you could search for all the times it says Breira, and for example, in the Gemara, but it doesn't always mean the exact same thing. Right? You have to know what it means. But here again, Tosfos points out, right? Tosfos over there, the short one, Rabbi Elazar, says this is not actually Breira. Okay, either way, fine. So that's how Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai understands that he simply holds that a joint partnership on a barrel of wine doesn't mean you get 50, you get 50. Everybody owns, I guess, a chilek, and you can't determine or whatever it is, and that's not good enough for an Eruv. That's, again, that's according to Rabbah. Rabbi Yosef, no. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, Rabbanan, besomchim al shituf b'makom Eruv kamifagi. The machlokes from Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, the Chachamim, is whether you can use a shituf mevos instead of an Eruv chatzeros. Right, again, they're kind of the same thing. I mean, do you need both of them? So, according to Demar Savar ein somchim, Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai holds you do not. You cannot use a shituf for an Eruv, meaning the shituf mevos works for a mavui, but does not work for an Eruv chatzeros. Lumar savar somchen, and the Chachamim holds that you can use a shituf mevos for an Eruv. And Amar Rav Yosef, Mana Amin Allah, I'll prove it to you. Right? Did Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Halacha Karbi Meir, V'Amar Rav Bro Amar Rav, Halacha Karbi Elazar ben Tadai. Right? Rav says twice, on the one hand, Halacha is like Rabbi Meir, as we'll see in a second, and he also says Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, right over here. Right? That again, so was it my time? What's the reason? Why does he need to quote both of them? And the Chacham say, what's the big deal? Why can't he hold like both of them? So both cases, if you notice, is a Yachid versus a Rabim, and it's also a case of a Chumrah. Both of them are Chumras and a Yachid. So it's very odd for him to hold of a Yachid in the face of a Rabim and a Chumrah, especially in Hilchos Erevin, which we mentioned that, in Hilchos Erevin we go based on the Mako. So why would he hold of both of them? It must be because that's the same Shita. Really, it must be the same Halacha. Again, this is Rabbi Meir who's going to say that you cannot use a shituf instead of an eruv. So the Gemara just says, "Well, if they both say the same thing, why do you need to tell me both of them? Right? Just tell me the halachas like Rabbi Meir, although the halachas like Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, if it's the same shita." So Gemara says, "Hakamash malan, the law of dina gitrei chumri ba'eruv." It teaches us that you don't take two chumras in eruvin. Meaning you're not going to make two chumras, you're not going to hold like two chumras by a single Talmud, Tana. Meaning, according to Rabbi Meir, just to explain, this is Rashi says over here, right? Rabbi Meir is going to say, and you'll see in a second, I guess we should probably read Rabbi Meir. But, okay, fine, let's read Rabbi Meir, and then we'll come back to explain exactly why you can't take two chumras according to one man da'amar in Erevin. My Rabbi Meir, what is this machlokas? So the Tanya, we learned in our brayso that ma'arvin b'chatzer is b'pas. You're allowed to use bread for a chatzer. If you rotzu la'arv b'yayin, ein ma'arvin. If you want to use wine, that's no good. Right? If you want to use wine for an eruv chatzeros, that's no good. Mishtat for b'mavo b'yayin, for a sheet of mavos, you're allowed to use wine. If you rotzu l'shtatev b'pas, mishtatvin. But bread does work for a sheet of mavos. Ma'arvin b'chatzeros. And umishtafim b'mavui, right? You need to do both of them. You need to make an eruv and a shtufim b'vos. Shalosh lishkoach toras eruv minatinoko. So people don't forget, right? If you do only one of them, you may forget the whole concept of an eruv. Right? Shayom rav useinu lo eruv, right? Because people will say, oh, my father never made an eruv chateros. He only made a shtufim b'vos. So they'll forget about the whole concept of an eruv chateros. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir. Shita. The Chachamim over the Chachamim say, O Ma'arvin, O Mishtatvin. You don't need to do both. You can make an Eruv Chatzeros, and that's good enough for the Mavui, or you can make a Shtuf from Mavos, and that's good enough for the Eruv. Now, why can't you hold like one Tana for two Chumras by Eruvin? So, again, Rabbi Meir Shita is two Chumras. Right? First of all, you can't use wine for an Eruv. And he also holds that when you use bread for a shtuf mavos, that doesn't work for the eruv chatzeros, right? Even though technically bread does work for an eruv chatzeros. So why did Rav say the halacha is like Rabbi Meir and the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai? Because he held that first of all, Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai says that you're not allowed to use a shtufa mavos with wine, and then once he can say that, then he can say Rabbi Meir says that even a shtufa mavos of bread is no good. Meaning, when Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai said you're not allowed to use wine and wine, so that's one chumrah, right? And then once you can't use wine and wine, right, the whole dual barrel thing, so then you can add on that you can't even use bread, right? We didn't want to use both chumras of Rabbi Meir because this concept of that we just said that we don't use two chumras of one tana by Erevin. Okay, fine. All right, we'll hold it here. I will say definitely a daf that requires some chazara, but it's a shame. The more times you go over it, the better you know it. And it's a shame definitely for myself. I think that's very going to be chashuv. But either way, have a great day. A good chodesh, right? We didn't say good chodesh. Right, today is already, now as I'm recording this, is already Beis Cheshvan, but should be a Chorev Zman, a good Chorev Zman, a good Vinter, as they say. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.